Welcome to Soul Sciences. I'm your host, Charlene. Many of these podcasts explore writers, especially memoir writers, as they examine the journey of their lives. From time to time, you will discover a totally unique podcast on subjects ranging from muons to those lights that flash when you press your eyelids and anything in between. I hope you enjoy today's program on Soul Sciences. Hi, everyone. I'm back with Sia Sunrise Person. Last week, we heard Sia describe her amazing and unusual life. She has written the first of her memoirs called North of Normal, a memoir of my wilderness childhood, my counterculture family, and how I survived both. Welcome back to the program, Sia.
Thank you very much.
Sia, this is the part where we talk about how the writing takes place. And I guess the first place I always like to begin is, what inspired you to write this story?
Well, I always knew I would write my life story from a young age. I was writing fully illustrated books that I would give to my mother. I loved writing. And then in high school, I actually thought I might pursue a career in creative writing. I had this amazing teacher, Mrs. Bell, she was quite elderly, but she really encouraged me. But the funny thing is, I had this idea that I wanted to write, and I wanted to write my life story because I knew it was crazy and interesting. But at the same time, nobody knew it. Nobody knew my story. I wasn't sharing it with anyone because it was so shameful to me. And I was tired of feeling like the freak from the wilderness. And so the last thing I wanted to do was, put the story out about myself that would reveal who I really was. So it took me many, many years of sort of thinking about this, how I would do it, and coming to terms with this dream that just wouldn't go away, to finally sit down and start doing it. So the catalyst for me to start writing at age 37 was my life was completely falling apart. My business was going under, my second marriage was falling apart. I was a new mother and really struggling with it. My mother was dying of cancer. I mean, it was just all going down, And so I thought, okay, why is this happening to me? And I realized I really needed to look to my past to explore why I'd gotten myself into this situation. And at the same time, I read that book, The Glass Castle, and I remember putting it down and going, okay, that is an amazing story, but I think mine is equally amazing, so I'm just going to do this. So that's how it started. But I had no idea what lay in store for me, because I had this very naive, idyllic view that even though I hadn't actually been writing anything since, I hadn't really written anything since high school, I would just sit down and the story would pour out and it would be amazing. And that was certainly not the case. So if you'd like me to get into a bit more detail about that, I'd be happy to, unless you have another question.
I would love to hear you carry on about that, because this part, the process of writing, is so helpful for other memoirists or other writers indeed to hear what it is like for each one of us. So would you please continue?
For sure. So I wrote my first draft in about 3 months, and I was like, oh my God, that was so easy. I don't know why people say writing is hard. And I send it off. I send off my query letters. I get lots of interest from agents right away. They all want to read it. I'm like, oh my God, this is so easy. And then every single rejection letter comes back as a rejection saying, interesting story, but boy, oh boy, do you need to work on your writing. So I'm like, oh, okay. And of course, being the person I am, that just, added fuel to my fire. And I was, ready to go tackle it and prove everyone wrong. So, back to the drawing board. And, to just in a nutshell here, because it's a painfully long and boring story. But it took me 6 years. And let me say, probably at least 10 full rewrites, like front to back rewrites of my book, my first book, to get it right. And each time I would think I had it, and then I'd send it out to agents again. At some point, I think about 4 years in, I got letters back saying, wow, you're a really good writer, but I don't know if the story's that interesting. Oh, yeah. So it was extremely frustrating and disheartening. And there were times I thought about giving up. And there were times where, you know, because throughout this whole thing, you have to remember, too, my normal life was going on. So I was having two more babies and looking after them with no help getting divorced, getting remarried, you know, moving, all these things were happening. And so I would have periods of time for sometimes 6 or 8 months where I wouldn't touch my manuscript because, you know, life would just take over. Mm-hmm. But I would always go back to it. And even when I had, you know, a baby on the breast and a toddler running around asking me for snacks, I would somehow find a way to sit down at my computer and write amid the chaos. It was just a burning desire that I needed to get this story out there, not just for my own mental health, but because I knew that others could relate to it and that there had to be people out there who had been through equally crazy childhood that I could somehow help by saying, hey, you're not the only one. And so I just continued at it until finally I remember writing this one draft and just feeling that it was different, like just knowing. And the reason I knew it was different was because I had decided to switch my whole narrative to telling the story from the voice of whatever age I was at the time. So when I was very young, I was telling it from a, you know, a small child's perspective. And then as I grew older, then the voice changed accordingly. And I just knew that I'd finally done it. And so I remember sending out my query letters and, you know, sitting back to wait because, you know, you wait for weeks and months and it's just painful. And then getting up the next morning and seeing like 5 responses in my inbox saying, we'd love to read it. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. And then sending it out. And then I believe I had 4 within a week, I had off 4 agents to represent me. And I ended up landing my dream agent. And, and the rest is history. But it was a very long, hard, painful journey, but so rewarding because of that when it finally all came together.
The voice of the child is so persuasive. And what I found it did, that perspective, I was aware that that is what you had chosen to do, is it cut out a lot of the overview that some people include in memoir. And in this story, I think that overview would have been a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In fact, my earliest drafts were written as, me as an adult looking back on my childhood. And what that does is it makes you very judgmental of the people in your story. And it also makes you analyze. And that is, you know, there's a place for that. Like there was a place for it in my story because I really wanted to write it as I was experiencing it. And children do not analyze. They rarely question. They rarely judge. And I wanted that to come through because otherwise I would have been writing the story and people would have just been horrified at what my family was doing. And I wanted to represent both their good and bad qualities and say, hey, you know, these were people following their dream. They happened to drag me along with them. It wasn't all horrible and it wasn't all great. Here's the story.
I think you do a wonderful job of that. And I think that's the other thing that marks the book, because clearly there are experiences and episodes that sort of the culture in general would call, well, that was a moment of child abuse. Thank goodness, nothing on your body, nothing physical or sexual to you. I mean, a little closeness, but not close call, but not anything until a little bit later. There was a little bit later that occurred. But in the early years, that's what I mean, is in the wilderness area, no, there was just, but there were these other moments where one would say, well, clearly if I'm an adult and that's happening to a child, but somehow your storytelling is so compelling that doesn't happen. Didn't happen for me as a reader. And so, you know, mission accomplished and well done, because no, there was just this kind of exploration of what was going on and the crying when it happened and the joyfulness when it happened, just in the way that a child, as you say, does experience. Mm-hmm. Did the writing help you organize your memories?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, especially my early childhood was such a jumble. Like, oh my God, we moved around so much. We moved, sometimes we'd be in places for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And it really all was a huge jumble in my head. And luckily, I actually started writing the first book before my mother died. And so I was able to, you know, have some conversations with her and get her to help me put things in order. And especially, you know, the chronology and where we were living and who we were living with. And then she told me some stories to fill in the gaps, as did my grandmother. And then it just all sort of started to click into place. But there are, you know, lots of that I never even wrote about because they were just too abstract and too, my memories were just too, you know, not clear enough about them. But once I started writing, you know, of course, you know, more memories came back. And I was definitely able to organize it. And it's interesting because now that I've written it, and they say this about writing your memoirs, that it changes your memories. So now when I think about my childhood, I think more about the way I wrote it in my book than I do about the actual memories, which is, it's strange. But anyway, it helps me feel like I actually have like this more ordered childhood that I can refer to.
You know, just a moment here to talk a little bit about neuroscience and the child brain, which I confess I'm not an expert at this or a genius at it, but I love to read about it, is that the impressioning is so direct. And as you say, there's no organizing principle. There's nothing that says necessarily, well, we've been here for 4 months, and what does that mean? There's none of that. It's just we've been here for a period of time and it has a feeling to it. And now there's no longer, we're not in that feeling space. I'm thinking particularly of when your mother and Carl and you leave your grandfather and your grandmother and how hard that is for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very hard for sure. And, you know, some of the memories are much stronger than others, and that's a strong one.
Yes, yes, it would be. We know that pain and aversion, fear and aversion are really where we go as a reset. We go to that. We go to that, those places because that has helped us anthropologically remember where bad things are, and that keeps us alive. So that's part of why we have a deeper impressioning right away for what we call the negative. In this case, in your situation, though, I should think that writing about it would have brought the structure from the prefrontal cortex to go back and look at it and go, well, actually, this is what's important. This is what's important. This is what's important.
For sure. Yeah. And I think even more so in my second book, because my second book, my first one's mostly about my childhood, but my second one is really about cause and effect. So I wrote stories that like a story of my childhood and how it related to a story that I would then follow it about my adulthood that would explain or help to explain why this had happened to me as an adult. And so organizing things that way really helped me a lot. It was a lot like a therapy session for sure.
Definitely. Because once we see the pattern, we're on the way to being free of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then we have a little bit of choice over it. Well, that is exciting. Now, what is your second book titled? Nearly Normal, right?
Nearly Normal.
Okay. Nearly Normal. And these books are available everywhere, I'm sure, because that was a bestseller as well, right?
Yes.
And what are you working on now?
Oh, well, I'm writing fiction now. Yeah. So I'm working on a few things. I'm working on a romance and I'm working on a thriller and I'm working on a mainstream fiction. So we'll see what comes out first.
Well, boy, with your drive and your capacity to burn in those creative energies, I'm sure we're going to be treated to more good writing from you, Sia.
Thank you. I hope so.
I'm so thrilled that you came on the program, and thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I look forward to talking to you again.
That's it. That's all for today's program. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for this lovely music called Carefree. For more of my works, including excerpts from my books, go to www.soulsciences.net. And remember, take good care of each other. Bye for now.